Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up because we're going live on the Fight Mixer Show.
What's going on? Welcome to the Fight Mixer. With Andre Ewell, what's going on, brother?
Gear up.
Not much. You know, just happy to be here on the weight cut.
Sorry about that. Did you guys hear that?
Words.
Yeah, we heard that. Andre, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty well, man. One, thank you for having me. Yeah.
Dude, I'm so excited. I just heard that you're going to be back fighting. We were just talking about the last episode when you were on, like, when you're going to fight. We're excited to see you fight. Then you got a date, September 19th. You fight against, I'm like, holy shit, super excited, nerded out. And then I get the opponent, and the opponent's a game opponent. He's definitely an incredible opponent, Mr. Rivera. I mean, great opponent, great date. You're back in action, back in training camp. How's training camp treating you?
Treat me well, you know. Granted that I've been basically out of the cage for 7 months, and that's been nothing but reflecting on me and my energy and my craft for 7 months. So my training camp has been for 7 months, like, you know, with all the injuries and recoveries and stuff. But 7 months is automatically added with the mentality, like I stated, with a gamed opponent, opponent that it has heart and ain't going to take nothing or shy from it. You know, the dude's pretty solid, so I feel like it's a good and great return for me.
Gotcha. And in the last 7 months, and obviously you've been working on some things, and it wasn't about maintaining your skill set, which is an awesome skill set. It was about evolving it. And what new tricks to the trade did you add to an already incredible arsenal?
We could say my kicks. Just the fact is, if everybody known, I had like bucket tears, or I had a bucket tear on my right knee, and then I had to end up getting surgery on my left knee because the left knee was overcompensating the right leg. Just put it, like, just to throw it out there, I wasn't able to, like, actually do or commit a majority of my kicks type thing or wrestling or anything. So everybody ended up just seeing a person that actually had hands and was okay with throwing nothing but hands, you know. But just the fact that I got all my weapons back, it just automatically opens up the door that I'm going to be able to take it where I want and do what I want. So that's the difference and something I was able to work on off this time.
And you have a great matchup. I mean, Rivera, his last fight, I think he won by split decision. Like, he's a game opponent. Like, he's a super, super tough guy, and he'll drag in the deep waters. But what's your opinion on your opponent? What can you piece together about him that you can find some tendencies? Like, what's your strategy with him?
I'm going to break down strategies. Like, just stated, like, his style alone fits perfect with mine. But again, if you ended up flipping a coin, my style fits perfect for him. He's very explosive. He gets to a small frame very fast, just similar to my style. I can cover distance really fast. But he comes down to that moment that his chin is always going to be there for me, just especially my style and, you know, the range that I end up having and just how quick I am, just period, you know. But then at the same time, I feel like I have better ground than him. You know, obviously, I feel like this might end up being tested. But there's this other side about the style that I do like about him is like where what he stated is that where he's from, he's down to throw. And everybody knows where I'm from. I'm down to throw. So it's like your mentality is to keep it exciting. So it can end up punishing you, or it can end up hurting you, or at the same time, it can end up rewarding you. So I feel like in this situation, his face will be definitely rewarded with my fist. But in a smile. You feel me? In a smile.
He leaves so many openings, and that's what I like about the matchup. He leaves so many openings out there, especially in his last two fights for the UFC. He leaves these openings out there that you're the type of guy that'll exploit them. If there's a chink in your armor, you're the type of guy that's going to be able to find it, exploit it. Like, without giving up, you know, I don't want to see what's behind door number one, because I'd rather wait to the fight, which is September 19th, but... Can you just name like a couple of tendencies that he does that you know that you can pick up on? Like maybe one, like throw one out there. The magician, I got to know.
For a magician, okay, I'll give you just one thing is that he does love to leave his chin out, or he leads with his chin. No matter how you end up flipping that, that's a tendency that's always going to end up standing there. Like some people exploit it just to honestly come up with a nice counter. And I'm like one of those type of people. Like I leave my hands partially down for certain amount of time or all the damn time, and everybody jumps on it like, hey, you know, etc., but not knowing there's something behind it. But for him, it's one of those things, you always go back to what you know, especially when you're tired and whatnot. And what he knows is how to dart, and his darting, it's what leads with his chin first and then the hands follow. Or he might end up leading with the hand, but the chin is always out there. So reality, if you give me the chin, I'm gonna take it. And what they always say, you make them miss, you make them pet. You know, or capitalize on whatever they shoot with. I ended up looking at it. So it's timing in this game.
Yeah, I kept pointing my chin because I kept leaving it out there. I just wanted you to say it because I see that when he leads in, when he comes in, and he's explosive too. Super aggressive, super explosive, but he always leads that chin out. And, you know, you're an accuracy striker. And, you know, I just see that opening right there, like for the picking, especially coming into this matchup with you.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Doesn't matter how you end up flipping it, because granted, like, he can end up – but there's not enough time right now in the game or where he's at to be able to end up fixing that little problem. Like, you know, that's a problem that will always be there. Like, you know, like I stated, when everybody ends up getting tired or they got to go back to something of, hey, I got hurt and I got to flip back to something, some people go straight to wrestling because that's what they know. Like, you know, or – fall back into something that they just done repeatedly and repeatedly. And a prime example is like when Conor fought Diaz. When he got cracked pretty hard. And granted, if he actually just would have probably withstood the whole punching instead of shooting, I think he might have survived that like, you know, that round and whatnot. But he went to back to what he was used to, and it was wrestling. Because, you know, like a lot of people don't end up understanding, Conor was actually kind of like a little low-key wrestler, low-key, or he'd been working on a lot of his wrestling type thing, you know, especially like for people like Diaz, which is a black belt. So, you know, you got to end up working your way or working your game to honestly flip and fold and work around people that are good at certain things, you know. So, yeah.
Right. I don't know why he would shoot for a fucking – back on the subject, I don't know why Conor would shoot for that fucking takedown. Like, who in his corner called that? Like, shoot for the takedown. Like, Conor has never, ever been a wrestler. So he called for that in the second fight. But, like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah. That was something, like, I was, like, 100% on and everybody was on. But in reality, like I said, it's what he was practicing the most for was scrambling, takedown, scrambling, takedown. So, you know. And when you kind of get revert back to what you're used to or what you've been working to, there's always two doors. It ends up happening in that way, you know. So stuff like that, you just got to end up, like, picking and fixing. And like I stated with Irwin, no matter what he does, his chin's always going to be there. So there you go.
So as an athlete too, because, you know, my tendency when I'm in sparring and I get rocked, I go right to wrestling. Like, the wrestling switch goes on and I shoot a takedown. Like, so why would I even badmouth Conor? But, like, I wrestle. So, like, that's my go-to, is shooting for a takedown when I'm hurt. Like, when you're in that dark place where you get like knocked on the noggin and it's all cloudy up there, what's your go-to, like, panic mode? What do I do? How do I recoup? Like, what's your strategy when you get into dark waters?
And dark waters, throw the shit out of my left hand. My bad. I don't know if I'm contested by you, I'll throw the mess out of my left hand, man. Like, the way I look at it is, it's like, you're going to have to take me out of my shield. It is what it is. Like, you know, and don't get me wrong, I've been there. I've been in the dark waters type thing. And that situation, the survival kicks in. It's what you know. And I'm a boxer mentality. like, you know, it's something that I've been used to, is throwing these hands, like, you know, so me trying to shoot for a takedown, especially when I'm tired, I already know that's like downhill for me. And I ended up being around a lot of people that ended up having that mindset of, oh, let me go to wrestle. But you're supposed to wrestle when it's convenient for yourself, not wrestle when you're in panic mode. And that's how right. people end up understanding that.
Right. That's why you're the pro, I'm the schmo. But besides that, after this, you get past this guy, you get past Mr. Rivera. What's next for you? You know, now the ball rolls in your court, and now you can call the shots. Like, what's next for you, or what do you want, or who's the next opponent that you want?
All right, so we got two answers. First answer is, if my boy Woodley want to tag me in, I'll go ahead and take I'll fight Covington for him. You feel me? And if not that, all I need to do is make 100K followers, okay? And they said I get to fight Derek Lewis for the chicken bucket. Told me, I said okay, and I was game. So get me to 100K followers. That's all I gotta get to.
Andre, I like you, man. Please do not fight Derek Lewis. I beg of you, sir. Please, sir.
I got speed on him. I'm like the rooster. I got speed on him, baby.
I will make you a GoFundMe page to avoid you fighting Derek Lewis. I'll pay you. I'll find a way to pay your purse. Just please don't fight Derek Lewis. I beg of you. Punch Cody Covington, maybe, but please, no. I beg of you.
You know, he owes me some damn Skittles. I can tell you that. Like, the man's over here, like, because, you know, the time that I ended up meeting Derek Lewis, right, it was Houston card when I fought. He was in there. He was cutting weight and everything. Or I was cutting weight. He was eating Skittles. You feel me? And I was sitting there in the sauna while he's walking in there just munching on Skittles. And I'm like, that's cold. Like, you guys are just going to eat Skittles while I'm over cutting weight. So, you know, it's a bag of Skittles. We got to throw hands right now. They said 100K. That's 100 pounds right there.
Oh my God. He's the funniest guy ever. I remember he was playing on the same card as Habib and Conor McGregor, and he's losing all three rounds. Last like minute, he fucking turns it up, hits that overhand right, goes on the microphone and tells Joe Rogan his balls are hot. Greatest.
Balls are hot.
Said the balls is hot.
And you could the speakers were outside too, so you can hear it all outside. So it was glaring. My balls are high, and it was like the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Rogan was speechless.
Yeah, you gotta be. But no, shout out to him, Derek Lewis. He's cool peeps.
Yeah, man. I like the fight. Personally, I think the Kobe Covington fight would actually be a good fight. You know, I think he throws in volumes. You know, he'll rely on his wrestling. He didn't do it against Usman because he knows Usman, you know, there's a 50-50 shot. Usman will stuff those takedowns, and, you know, Usman's wrestling is super good. So, but he throws in volumes, but, you know, he's just a guy that I don't necessarily think, and I've had him on my podcast before. Kobe Covington's a great guy. His character he plays, I highly disagree that's the marketing move, because it really hasn't drawn him money. It hasn't made him money. But I think that would be a good matchup between you and him. Just saying.
Hey, look, now you make me feel good. Like, hands down, like, as you end up saying that, like, I always end up hearing, like, two sides of the story or the coin with him, you know? Like, there's one side where he's just a douche, and then there's the other side where it's like he was never always like that. And then, you know, and like I said, he ended up taking the sun in direction, I guess. But how you end up looking at it, the way I look at it is, it's whatever you end up presenting into the cage, it's what's been sold with me. You know, it's kind of like, hey, they tell you the truth the first day, that's what you got to believe. So if they're over here breaking candles, we know to keep candles away from the person type thing, you know. But either or, and all in all, in a standpoint, he automatically gets respect off of his fighting style. Like, you know, the dude can throw, he can wrestle the whole nine. Like, you know, it's nothing but respect there. But this is other situations, like I said, like, I'll end up love to fight him in the future. That would be, like, awesome. Yeah, you know? But obviously, I got to move up weight to do that. I'll do that with fun. Yeah.
I mean, it would be a fun matchup. It would be awesome. I mean, he's no longer with American Top Team. You know, I have no idea who he's training with. I mean, I don't know how he's going to appear with Tyron Woodley. What do you think about that fight? How's it going to go between Tyron Woodley and Kobe?
So, like I said, I'm always going to be team Woodley, just factors in. Woodley's like a big brother to me, man. Like, the first time I ever met him, he was spitting nothing but knowledge to me. So he was, like, running the game with me and everything. So he automatically has 100% my respect. And the fact that he granted, like his last two fights wasn't the best, but it, I don't know if you noticed, like out of all three of the dang opponents, they all have like very similar styles, all very unique, and he didn't have to really much change his training camp for it. So in reality, he has trained for this fight for three fights, if you end up looking at it. And out of the three, I feel Usman is better, and then it comes Gilbert, and you know, and then comes Covington, and I feel like he should be able to beat Covington. But again, I know a lot of people are going to end up saying no to this, no to that, but I'm Team Woodley with this right now.
Yeah, I love Woodley to make a comeback. I mean, you know, I don't know what the missing piece of the puzzle. I mean, I ever since he fought Usman, I see something missing. You know, that confidence, yeah. That swagger, that. Like, what can you identify as something he needs to, you know, do you see that? Like, there's something up or something?
I just feel like if anything, he took a lot of his time on his music career, basically his life just in general, you know. Like, you can end up seeing, like, when, like, something's getting pulled from you because you're doing something else. Just like, for example, when it comes into, like styles, right? You got jiu-jitsu, you got wrestling, you got boxing, okay? And then you got Muay Thai, so all four of them. If you end up favoring something else a little bit more or favoring it just a little tad, or you're trying to basically circle yourself around, most people can say, hey, that's complete. But other people can say, hey, you're lacking off on one thing. And right now, what Woodley was happening, it's he was just lacking off the factors in his, we can say it's that inner warrior to just throw, like, you know, he was so used to always dropping people with one hand, or to the fact is in that he'll outpoint people or out wrestle or just jits. But if you end up looking at it, he's fighting people that are automatically expert at certain things, like, you know, like this. Woodley's a great wrestler, right? But Usman is an awesome wrestler, you know. If you go to Covington is a wrestler. And this is why I say that I feel like Woodley's a better wrestler. But I know a lot of people can end up arguing that case. But if you go to Gilbert, like, he's a black belt that wants to break your neck. It's like a pit bull on steroids that wants to rip your neck off. And then, you know, you place him up in there with that, you end up getting a different story where it's like, okay, I can't really throw with this dog because, hey, he's kind of buff, like, you know, like, hands down, Willie might crack the mess out of him, but he just walks through it. You got to think about it. Willie cracked him and he walked through it, you know?
Yeah.
So you kind of end up seeing different things. So I feel like if you end up placing him with somebody that he might be better than, you see a different Woodley, like, you know? But right now, you're just catching people that Woodley's going against, people that basically are better or way heavier on a lot of situations, like, you know? So, you know, it's just like that. It's like, granted, like a lot of, like how we end up saying my opponent, Irwin, right? Right now, on books, I'm a better hand. Hands standing up, I should be better. Hands down. But no one ends up calculating the factors in. All right, hey, he might have heart. Or, oh, hey, Dre might be sick that day. Or, oh, hey, this might end up happening. Or that might end up happening. And just that can end up weighing up for, oh boy, to end up being spectacular. Or I could just be off that day. Or what, you know, end up being the case. Right now, what we saw was off Woodley. I think if we had on Woodley, I think he beats those two last two opponents. Right. So right now, that's just like I'm betting on. I'm thinking that he's going to be on when he fights, you know, Covington for that fight.
And we got the host, Mr. Andre. We got the host from Wednesday show, Karina Ong. What's going on, homegirl?
Hi.
Hello.
Sorry, just randomly popping in.
Yeah, you did. I was like, right. In the middle of it. I wanted to say someone just popped in. I don't know if this is real.
Right? And just some random shit just showed up. Like, what's up? I don't know. I'm supposed to be here, but yeah, I was just listening to you talk. Hi, how are you?
Pretty well. Yourself?
Good. I'm actually in my MMA gym right now in my boss's office. So if you hear some bells, don't mind them.
Got you.
Things happen. But I was hearing you talk about Woodley. So I don't know where was I when I jumped in on all this. Tyrone Woodley, he's in St. Louis with me, so I don't know him. I wish, but he's in St. Louis area, so that's why I'm like, I know his gym's like 20 minutes away from me.
So what we were talking about was something. I feel that there's a puzzle piece missing, especially from his arsenal or whatever. since his fight with Usman. I don't see that swagger, that confidence. Yeah. Andre was nice enough to actually, you know, give us like an inside scoop of what could be going on or what is happening. And pretty much the pick between Kobe Covington and Woodley. So he was giving some insight, and he's all Woodley. I think Woodley can pull it off. Covington is very dangerous, especially when he throws in volumes and gets in his zone and brings people in his quicksand. But what do you think, Karina?
Me? I don't know. Woodley's down here with Masvidal, as far as I know. He's been in.
No fucking way.
Am I not supposed to be saying this?
No. It's already out there. That's another thing I was saying.
Like, it has to be because he showed Masvidal show that he was in St. Louis. He came in, I don't know, 1 or 2 weeks ago. My friend posted a picture of him, and he was like, look who I'm with. I'm like, no fucking shit. His car actually got stolen, I think, like 2 days into being in St. Louis. Like, welcome to St. Louis.
That's St. Louis.
He's been down at Tyrone Woodley's gym. And I haven't seen too much. I actually thought he only stayed a couple of days. I don't think he's gone up to the SCMMA, the UFC gym out there. But he's been down here for, I think, 2 weeks. I could be wrong about the time span, but he's been down here for about 2 weeks with Woodley. And that's
surprising. I think so. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. And that was, like, the whole point I was saying. Like, he had his three fights, and, you know, Covington being the third one. It's like he had similar training camps, and it's like, dude, ain't – like, he's been really preparing for Covington, if you honestly sit here and think about it. Like, I've been preparing for Covington for, like, the last 9 to a whole year, you know, just to fight him. So, that's why my money's on Woodley at the moment.
Did you do anything? I'm sorry for interrupting you, Karina. What were you saying?
No, you're fine. Go ahead. I was looking at actually.
So, I was going to ask two questions. One, have you ever met Jorge Masvidal? Have you ever ran into him, bumped into him? And have you brought in anybody for your training camp in preparations for Robert?
No, and no. no for everything. No, because the fact is that everybody at my gym is already like straight killers, to be honest. Like, you know, like I have, like, you know, my teammate, Jalen Turner, you know, like he's there. He fights this weekend, so points to him. And points to Roll, that also fights this weekend as well. Ended up working with both of them. So it's like everything I end up doing, it's automatically suited and booted for it. And, you know, I have awesome teams that ends up putting me in scenarios that I need to be in and all down to freaking kill me. So, you know, make me feel very depressed. Like, this is my face on a box cover right now. And so, you know, so just end up knowing if I end up missing, that's what really happened. They killed me.
Okay. Who are some of the what are the teammates that we know that you would actually train with? Can you name some of them off that you get most of your rounds in with? Or are you pretty much some homegrown boys that you're training with out there?
I can definitely say I'm very homegrown off the situation. But I know you guys definitely, like I said, you should know Jalen Turner. And Roe, like I stated, those two are the ones that are probably would be closest on the high alert of up-and-comings for the UFC and everything. But majority of anything, I've been, like, working with, like, a lot of boxers and whatnot, or was, until I got the fight. And then I kind of, like, more been, like, set on, like, jiu-jitsu and everything, you know. So, Sean Rivera. Or Rivera. Oh, he's going to kill me. But, just, you know, but yeah, Sean Louise, like, you know. So they have been on, like, all on my dang, like I said, my bumper and whatnot. So it's more of the assault bike. If you guys know anything about that, the assault bike, that's my my new opponent that's came and brought himself into my game of training. Yeah. You know.
Aren't you ready for it? I was going to say, who I was looking up earlier was, I know, like, no one, someone else was out here, and it's actually Jillian Robertson. I think I told you that, Matt, or I think I told you, David. But Jillian's been out here, so I don't know if they're training together too, but she's been out here at the UFC gym with Kelly D'Angelo training.
Is Shorty out there also? Or
probably. Which, yeah, probably. I mean, I think they go hand in hand wherever they go.
That's so. Just a town full of fucking killers right there, my friend.
No. Shorty's a nice guy. So I said, like
that's like Murder's Row right there.
they've all been at the Woodley gym. Aside, I know Jillian has been there. I've been totally being like a chismosa and being all nosy about that gym. Like,
so all right, so,
kids about who secretly trained St. Louis. I got you.
So Andre obviously has other commitments. He's got to hype up this fight. I can't wait to see him fight September 19th on ESPN, UFC Fight Night. Andre's about to put it down, and I can't wait to see it. Andre, any last words? I can't wait to see you fight. I'm so glad you're back in action. Any last words?
Oh, final last words. One, thank you for having me and talking to all y'all. Thank you. And two, it's Team Yule all day. So anybody and everybody that's part of Team Yule is nothing but love, and we're going to automatically push that forward. And I'm also excited to be back, too, because after I get done with Irwin, I'm coming from a bucket of chicken, Derek Lewis. You feel me? That's what we're talking about.
Bro, I beg of you, do not fight Derek Lewis. I beg of you. Please do not do that.
Hey, for us getting
I'm starting your GoFundMe page. Please don't.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Thank you so much for coming on. I really do appreciate it, man.
Hey, likewise. Appreciate y'all. Bye.
Thank you.
What's going on?
That was random. Yeah, that was breaking for a second. I said, I don't know what to talk about since I don't know what you guys covered. And he seems like a pretty chill guy, though. I like coming in on that a little bit, though.
Yeah, he's a fun guy.
Yeah. So, how are you?
So you got, you said Woodley over there and.
Woodley's in. He has his gym. It's not, I don't think it's very active. I hope he's not watching at all ever. Just because I'm like, it's not a very active gym. I actually forgot that his gym's out here until I saw that Jillian Robertson was there. And then I noticed that Jose goes in and out of there. And then I saw Masvidal and I was wondering where he was. I think I'm lagged for a second. I don't know what's going on. And it says my name is Andre, not Andre.
Oh, let me move that.
I thought he was only going to be in here maybe for the weekend, and it just so happened that he came in here the same weekend as Jillian Robertson, which I thought was cool. One of my girlfriends has been training out there. She's been training out, like I said, Kelly D'Angelo out of the UFC gym that's out here in St. Charles, St. Louis. But Masvidal has been really on the down low, aside from getting his car apparently stolen, which was not a very nice welcome from us.
That's fucking crazy. Is it like that? Is your town like that where it steal cars and all that crazy shit?
I mean, I love
come on now.
I know. Really?
I've never been here. I've never been there.
Yeah. I love it. Everything's free and cheap, and there's a lot of people in the fight community, and you can go to whatever gym because everything's really accessible. So you can get a lot out of it. We have good fight promotions, actually. Everything in the entertainment wise, like museums and such, is free. It's a cool city, but yeah, you do have a little bit of. I have been robbed at gunpoint. I have
no fucking way.
Had several things, and I definitely live in a loft now with double gates, and it just depends on the city, and I don't know. It's nothing bad. It's city life. That's all it is.
Are you going to be training for your next fight soon?
I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you back in training? Are you going to be training for your next fight? What's going on with you?
Me, I have been taking a long break since January, since I had an injury where I broke my orbital bone and my nose to a hefty kick from a pro fighter, which at least it was from a pro fighter. That's nice. It wasn't from some amateur fight, but which is nice. So I can just say that that's, you know, I still can't feel part of my face, actually. Like this bit is numb from the kick, and because I think I got a bit of my nerve jammed in there. Okay. I'm really sensitive about the way my face is touched. It doesn't hurt. I just weirded out by it. So I haven't actually been sparring or anything. I've just been doing more strength training and weight training, which definitely takes a toll on kicking. So hopefully probably 2021, I'll probably get back into maybe one or two more fights or so. Really, I'm sure.
Maybe do a bare knuckle. Well, not a bare knuckle. Maybe do like a couple of like, grappling 20s or something like that. You know, grappling 20s.
Grappling 20, then COVID happened. It was like, fuck no, you're not going to do that. Sit your ass down. So I'm actually really good on the ground. Aside from if anyone looks up my MMA match, please don't. it's really bad because I'm actually really good on the ground. I have a great grip because I do aerial, so I can hold on for your life. So what's up, Alex? Hi.
Oh, how's it going?
Good, how are you? Welcome. We're just talking about girly shit.
Oh, okay. What's going on?
We're here with Bruce Leroy. What's going on, brother? How you been? Congratulations on your win.
I've been good. Hold on. I'm trying to work out this camera.
All right. Okay.
There we go.
Brother, congratulations on your win. August 29th, huge win, like in the first like minute and a half. How you feeling, brother?
I'm feeling good. You know, it was a good win.
Okay.
Definitely quick and easy.
I always love your entrances.
Hear that by submission?
Yeah. I've been wanting a submission win for a while now.
What is the feeling like that when you get that submission win versus another? Like, is that something more? Do you feel different about your fight or how things performed, or is it not changed? I mean, a win is a win.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, it's always good to have a finish, you know, like it kind of feels like when you have a finish, it's like you're prepared for, you know, for a fight every time. You always prepare for a good like 15-minute good war if necessary. But then when it ends so quickly, especially when no damage is taken, it's kind of like, did it really happen like this? Like, is it over still, you know? And I don't know. So it feels good.
Unsatisfied? You need more.
So I got introduced to you through Tough, the season with Josh Koscheck and GSP, and you had the Bruce Lee yellow suit tracksuit on, so I was immediately a fan. And they said, "Oh, your nickname is Bruce Leroy." And one of my favorite movies ever is The Last Dragon. And I'm like, "Oh, this guy's definitely got the glow." So like, but how'd you get started with mixed martial arts, and how'd you land in Tough in that situation to start your UFC career?
Well, the way I guess started with mixed martial arts, I started wrestling in high school. And then that's where I met my friend, the guy who you guys saw as my corner for the last fight, Enrico Coco. Mm-hmm. And he introduced me and my brother to mixed martial arts. And we went to his gym. We started training in jiu-jitsu and kickboxing. And then from then on, we went to different gyms and trained around and whatnot. But that's how we were introduced to that. As for being on the Tough Show, I was just kind of like, I guess for lack of a better term, like bumming around, just getting fights and whatnot. And my brother told me that they're having these tryouts for the Ultimate Fighter. So we just drove up to, I believe it was North Carolina, and just tried out. And it was for 155, so I just jumped up a weight class and said, "Fuck it."
Fucking awesome. So,
story of success.
Are you saying, Queen?
I was just curious about the tryouts. Like, what that process is like.
Oh well, we got there, and then it was just a whole bunch of people. I forgot who was there, but I just know it was like they just make you grapple against each other, and then they do they hold mitts for you, and then they do a short interview, and then they go from there, and then they call you to come to Vegas, and then when you go to Vegas, you do some more interviews and some screening, and then they set you up with a fight to get into the house.
That's interesting. I was curious about that.
So how was working with Josh Koscheck and GSP? Did they give you good advice? Especially you have a long tenure in the UFC, my friend. Like through all these different eras of the UFC, like post buyout, now in the WMG era. Like, did GSP and Koscheck kind of give you some good knowledge? Give you some good advice, especially leading to your career and a career that survived both of them? So any good advice that they gave you?
Well, it's funny. In the beginning of the show, before it started, I came in overweight, surprisingly, and Josh Koscheck actually helped me cut the weight. But for GSP, I think he was just a great example on how to carry oneself, especially as an elite athlete and one that fights for a living as well. So he definitely kind of showed us the ropes for those who were listening. But it definitely changed the way that I looked at. My career and treated my career as well.
Karina? So and of course working with GSP, and now you were in the GSP era where he was selling out arenas and selling out houses, and you went to the Conor McGregor era where he got his money from shit talking and everything like that. Your character, you know, it's sellable considering that, you know, you're being yourself and you have sold tickets and sold yourself just being yourself. Have you ever been tempted to go down that road and go down that path of, unlike a GSP, start talking trash, start, you know, showing that trash talking? Like, what made you stay the course and just stay yourself throughout the, you know, the GSP era and the Conor McGregor era?
I never really thought of it that way. I just don't see any other way of being, I guess. I don't know about trash talking about people that I don't know, I guess, you know, or getting mad at people I don't know. We're going to fight anyway. There's no point in, I guess, I don't see a reason in trash talking or trying to scare the person. I mean, if we signed a contract, we're kind of committed. So it's going to happen either way. It doesn't matter what's said or what happens before that. As long as you don't get injured and I don't get injured, we're going to fight. I don't care if you come in overweight or underweight or whatnot. It doesn't matter to me. So, you know, we're going to fight. I think it's kind of pointless. That's all.
As you said, because of his long career with the UFC, Alex, have you noticed a difference from where you began? And obviously you fought more well-seasoned people along the road, as you've stayed in the UFC, you've been there for a really long time. But have you noticed a difference in the fighter since the beginning to now? Is there a change, or is there something that, you know, brewing that maybe we even don't see on the fan side, where fighters are coming in with a different technique that you're not used to? Like, oh, I haven't seen that shit before. Or they're preparing in a different way. Like, how has that changed, like, the competition, like, from the beginning to where you are now? What have you noticed?
A lot of different things, you know. I feel like there's a lot of there's a lot more athletes than there are fighters, for sure.
Yeah, I can understand that.
You know, I think in the more modern age, I think we see a lot of great athletes. You know, they can perform really well physically, but we've kind of like, or for the most part, at least, I couldn't say everything. Thing because we still got those people still there and even new ones coming in, but for the most part we're kind of drifting away from people actually wanting to get into fights.
That's a good way of looking at it, or way of stating it. They're a good athlete, but they're not the fighter, which I could definitely see in a lot of people where they maybe fall short when they enter the ring or into the cage, and you see that transition from what they're doing, their physical ability and, you know, whatever physical ability you have or whatever house that you're in, and then you get into the cage and it's a totally different story for people to translate that, you know, over to a fight. That's an interesting way of putting it. So,
but you do see, but I have been seeing too, like, fighters, martial artists too, becoming more athletic, you know. I think that's what's been a major part in a lot of being more successful. Like, for instance, Jorge Masvidal, or I can even say, even for me, you know, me treating my body more as an athlete, but still keeping that fighter mentality, sure helped me a lot for that.
So where you see your trajectory? You know, obviously you have still goals to obtain. Yeah, who would you want to fight next? What are the goals that you're trying to reach right now?
I honestly don't have a preference. They say I can go definitely higher in ranking, you know, look for that. Anybody there would be ideal. But other than that, I don't honestly watch the sport enough or keep up with it enough to know who's next for me to fight. You know, I just enjoy what I do. And when they give me the call and give me the opportunity, I'm going to show up.
Gotcha. So your last opponent and your last few fights, what have you changed, or what have you felt that you added to your arsenal from your last few fights?
Well, I've definitely been working on my grappling and my ground game a lot, you know, getting more confidence in that, which I feel keeps bringing more confidence in my striking ability. I'm not afraid of those exchanges. I'm not afraid of going to the floor or being able to defend against it as much as before. So I think that helps me out, opening up on my striking. I've been also simplifying things, relying a little bit more on boxing and footwork, and, you know, slowly implementing all the other cool shit. But other than that, I think just kind of calming down, essentially calming down a lot more and just relaxing.
And you've always been like an exciting guy too, like from your entrance, from the time you're in the cage. Like, what was the one fight that made you say, okay, now maybe I have to slow down a little bit, maybe, you know, kind of take my pace, you know, keep my same pace? Like, what made you kind of, you know, change that?
Well, it's always been something that I've been needing to work on, you know, in general, which is, you know, having a little bit more patience and, you know, controlling my excitement a little bit more. So it's something that I've been working on just throughout, I guess, throughout my whole career, just trying to get better at that. But it's something that my coaches also always notice in me as well, that I sometimes I go too fast and I run through the move too fast, and I either go over it or I miss it or I mess it up some way, just because I'm not, I need to slow things down and simplify them.
It's just a story of everyone's life. Is that how, that's for me for sure, at least. How was it then your first fight to now? How was it the beginning? Did you rush on in, and were you always like that anxious fighter going in, and then you chilled out, you know, more seasoned fighters? Or is that how maybe you built up to be, that you're more fast paced and you need to slow yourself down now? Has that changed, or was your first fight?
Well, it's kind of, well, I guess for the first fight, that was just that was pretty fast paced. Just mentally, just the thought process was going fast. I know I'm gonna move fast, and I know physically that I'm pretty agile and I'm gonna move fast, but it's just slowing my mind down, I guess, slowing my thoughts down and kind of embracing the fact that I'm in this very intense and high-paced moment at the time. I guess that's a better way to put it, just learning how to embrace that you're in a fight so well that you're not necessarily running circles in your head.
Yeah.
But definitely, I feel like I calmed down a lot since for my first fight.
So speaking of fighting, you know, obviously from a fighter standpoint, we've seen a lot of you, and I'm a big fan of yours. And from a fan standpoint, what fights are you looking forward to the most, and why is it Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr.?
Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr.?
Yeah, what fights are you looking forward to the most coming up in the UFC, boxing, anything?
Oh,
I got your joke.
I don't watch fighting, man, and I'm not really, I can't really tell you, to be honest with you. I mean, if I see it and then it looks interesting, I probably watch it.
Do you get excited at all about any of the fighters, or you're like, I'm here, they're nobody, whatever? Or are you like, well, a little fangirl sometimes and we don't know about it?
No, I guess during the fight, you know, if I'm watching the fight, it's exciting. You know, fights are exciting for sure, but it's not something that I go to look for to watch, or something that's in my interest to watch.
I guess it's kind of like the football player never really watches the football games or anything like that. Is it something that you don't necessarily like watching unless you're doing it? Or is there a particular reason you haven't watched the fights or kept up with the sport, or you just focus on your own career and just, you know, one track mind, just focus on what you're doing and not what everybody else is doing?
Instead.
I think we're losing him.
No.
Oh no.
It's a smile though. It's a nice. It's a nice look. At least it wasn't.
Yeah, it's a nice. It's a nice jump out. So.
Yeah, we might have got disconnected with Mr. Alex. Damn.
It sounded like it was one of his connection, or if it was my connection, I couldn't tell because I was in a different place this time.
Shit.
Well, I'm damn.
I think there's a little bit of a lag too, and I think that's why, like, I don't know if you're trying to talk, and I don't want to interrupt you and everything like that. We gotta get this. Hey, Matt, listen, producer, listen, sir, let's get on the ball.
Is he coming back? Did we bring him back?
Oh, yeah.
Is he here? You're here.
I think we have this next one.
I think we lost.
Alex, yeah, can you hear us?
Okay, so yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so I think your video is actually the lagging part where you can hear us. That's left us on a cliffhanger.
Well, we don't want to keep you much longer, so the connection's kind of cutting in and out. So do you have anybody you want to give shout outs to? Any promoters or any sponsors or anything?
I think we lost him again.
Lost him again.
Damn. It happens.
Damn. At least it's a nice face. Like I'm saying, people have come all crazy, like crazy looking sometimes. I thought you were actually lagging too. I didn't know. That's why I thought it was me. I thought everyone was lagging or something.
Yeah, I was lagging too. Matt, what's going on, brother? Come on.
I can't control the internet. It's out of my realm.
Yeah.
He's such a chill guy, though.
Anything.
That's what I was going to say. It actually reminds me of GSP because I remember just listening to one of his interviews and he was talking about, I think I mentioned this to you before, where, you know, he likes training up until the point where it's time to go in and someone asks him, like, you know, do you like the fight? He's like, fuck no, I don't like to fight. That's the last thing I want to do is go in there to fight. But he's like, he'll kill you. He's just such a nice guy, GSP, it seems like. But he'll tell you, I just end his interviews. He's like, yeah, I don't want to fucking go in there. I have to, but I don't want to go in there. So that's what he kind of reminds me of.
I mean, I kind of see it from the point of view, too, because, you know, when you're watching a UFC event, you're potentially seeing your next opponent or you're potentially seeing somebody that you're going to fight down the road. So maybe that's the reason why he's not necessarily into watching it. I don't know, Karina, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, when I've been in my matches, I don't like to watch them before I go in. I try and zone out and I get really deep into my music and such like that. And I try not to think about anyone because I know my anxiety will shoot up out the roof, especially when you're going in there to do something that's completely unknown in front of a million, and for him, in front of millions of people. For me, it was only in front of a couple hundred people. And to hear people, you know, you hear something hit the mat and then you hear people screaming and it's like, and you just hear the countdown coming. It's a lot of anxiety behind. So I don't know if it's maybe just some of them are the day of and right beforehand, they don't want to think about it. Or if it's maybe always like, I know a lot of fighters that don't want to watch. My boyfriend does not want to watch. I mean, I'll sit there like, dude, babe, he just knocked this dude out. Like you have to work on this, this, and this, and this. And this is why, you know, this guy is going to lose to you because we're going to work on these things. He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't want to watch it. He doesn't want to care about it. I'm all about it. I will stalk you. I'll know what your favorite ice cream flavor is. Like, so yeah, I guess it's everyone's different, you know, their mindset, you know, what works for them. And I feel like everyone does have anxiety at some point. It's, they just know how their body works and what works best for them. Me, I don't want to hear it, but I'll look you up beforehand.
So. Right. My last play, I was like, we have a little bit of an echo.
My boss's office.
We're having all sorts of problems, Karina. What's going on? I think you're muted.
Did I mute it?
I muted.
Good. I can't work an Apple computer.
So my last fight, I was the happiest to be there. I was watching the fights from down below. I started warming up. Like, I was just happy to be there. I think that's the difference between, like, in my last two fights ended in a loss and ended in a draw. I was just happy to participate. You know, as a competitor, I think it's just completely two different mind states where, you know, you and your boyfriend who are active competitors, You know, it's kind of nerve-wracking. You see someone hit, and you're like, oh, shit. You know, it's like going it's like the Roman gladiator Colosseum. Somebody just got fucking eaten by a tiger, and you're about to head in there. I see from your point of view, like, as a competitor and who's looking to make a name of yourself, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a good time. I mean, going in there, when you're done at all, it's amazing. But I'm the person that will rush in there, and I have a hard time transitioning what I learn and what I can do. And I know I can do it well outside the cage. I have a really hard time transitioning that inside. So I need to do all that I can to calm myself down, because I have a temper. So I want to go in there, you know, want to rip the person's heads off. And so the best I can do is just chill. You had a draw, though. How was that?
Oh, it was fucking awesome. So it was on 48 hour notice. So originally I was gonna fight this guy, and they set me up with this guy. And after a loss, I'm like, fuck, I gotta redeem myself. You know, like I was beating the guy, I took him down, everything going to plan. I got caught in a fucking arm bar because I stood up instead of, you know, defending the arm bar, fucking doing the chainsaw, like getting myself out of it. A basic primitive arm bar. But also I was out of the cage. The last time I fought was 2017, but before that, the last time I fought was 2012. So I got tapped out with a fucking white belt armbar, which, you know, it killed me. Nothing shrinks my boner more. Oh, shit, I'm talking to a female. I'm so sorry. So nothing killed my buzz more than, you know, something that I've been drilling over and over and over again. So that entire 3 months, I'm like, no, immediately. We're going right back in the cage. I'm fighting that September. So I'm like, match me up with whoever. I don't give a shit. So like, okay, you're going to fight 145, and you'll fight against this one guy who backed out because he got signed to Bellator. So I was like, okay, great news. Like, I'm glad he backed out in hindsight. But I kept drilling arm bars for like a good 2 months. Drilling arm bars, drilling arm bars.
Fucking arm bars.
And usually, yeah. So like arm bars. That's all I was thinking. Arm bars. So like all I was thinking. So you get to the fight. You know, I weighed in at 145, the highest I've ever, you know, I weighed in. I felt I got the big old mini dad bod. It was great. I fought against Michael Dupree, who's a former champion with that promotion. And, you know, instead of being an attacker, because that guy.
David. You too.
Did we just lag out?
Are you in New York? Is that the reason why you're lagging out there?
I think I'm in New York. That's the reason why I'm lagging out right now.
Yep. East Coast shit.
Sorry. Unbelievable. Oh, back to my sword. So I let him, so he rushes in, you know, he goes for a takedown. I'm defending, and my coaches are like, calm down, fucker. So I pull guard and then go for an arm bar. And I almost get him, and then I swept him, got on top. I'm like, okay, now we can do this. So it was literally, I'm turning to a grappling match for the entire duration. They ruled it for a draw. So it was fun. It went to a draw with Suffs, but best experience ever. Just saying.
Unless if you didn't figure that one out, like, you'd probably bring that arm bar to your grave, like your last words, beating yourself up. That would piss me off. That's how I feel about my rear naked choke that I lost to. Should know better.
How many times when you lost to a rear naked choke, how many times did you just like reach up and like grab that top arm and like peel it, or top hand?
Guess how many times? Give me a number. Zero. You know why? Because I think I was so comfortable. I was like, because I never get tapped out in my gym. There's one person in the city that has tapped my ass out, and she has medals all over this damn country. And even my coach, when I first started groundwork, I mean, we were just working one night, and he was trying each different angle, whatever way possible. I'm really flexible. I don't freak out on the ground. And he could never get me a tap out. So that's one of the things that impressed him before I even started fighting. He's like, holy shit, I just did all this crap to her, and she never even freaking tapped, and she couldn't tap because I'm double jointed and such. When it came to the rear naked choke, I was so used to being just in an uncomfortable position. I don't freak out. I was just so calm. I thought I had time to figure out where I was going. And watching my fight, it just looks like a day and a half. Like, what the fuck is she doing? Is she ever going to try to defend it? And I'm honestly just there thinking, but not thinking that she's going to drive it deeper. I mean, I really underestimated the girl, and that was my biggest fault, is that I knew I had it, and I let her have it because I was too damn calm, and that's how I lost the two fights I've lost. I went into her too calm, and which is totally an ass kicking when I say I don't want to go in there anxious, and I go in there too calm, and I fucking lose it. And anyway, so.
As a coach, like, how do you feel, like, and that's such a great thing that you brought up. Like, you're the best fighter in the gym. For some reason, it won't translate to the cage. Like, it's completely a whole different ballgame. Why do you think that is from a coach's perspective?
I'm not sure about the coach's perspective. I think at least, you know, I'm training a couple people now to get into their debuts on K1 and MMA, and the only thing I stress to them is, like, you have to control your emotions and understand timing. And I'm telling them that because that's what I need to do. And I'm giving them my own personal testimony that if you don't practice more of your technique and stop rushing, you know, rushing is where I think everyone loses it for the most part. It takes away half your power from your punches, you know, your power from your kicks, it catches you in stupid moments in MMA. It's so fucking quick to lose MMA despite, I don't care what you do, however you do good in mitts, all you gotta do is make a mistake like that and you're done. And I try to stress to them, like, you know, it is a chess game. And you have to be able to think clearly in there. And in my case, I don't do it, and some people don't. And I think they just think about that win so damn bad. Or it's a lot of emotions that they you know, that they, like, get to them. And that's how I am. I bring a lot of, I think, anger in there. So it works for me in my K1, where I've not been defeated. But in my MMA, I was so damn happy to get on top of her and do a ground and pound that I completely lost what I was actually supposed to be doing, and I wasn't listening to my corner. So, and that's another thing too, is, you know, people don't listen to their corner, and the corner is there to help you think clear-headed about what they see and what you can't see in there. So it comes down to the person and how much they're willing to listen, and, you know, I guess work as a team. It's not just your ass going in there alone. You're still a team, just, you know, despite walking in there, just your 2 feet.
Yeah, so it's pretty much trying to rush opportunities, pretty much, you say, from a fighter's perspective. And I completely agree with you. I was on top, and I got caught with an armbar because I was trying to rush to stand back to my feet to take him down and keep scoring points. So I completely see it from your point of view. So it's pretty much, you know, why it doesn't translate from the gym to the octagon is because people are trying to rush opportunities opposed to, like, just letting it naturally, organically happen, pretty much.
Yeah. I think that's the story of everyone's life, just rushing everything, just slow it down, even when it comes to that. So that's the one thing.
We're instant gratification with everything, from Tinder to, you know, you can get fast food to everything's instant gratification. And I think it translates also into the octagon, where people are trying to rush, trying to end and get that fight, get in, get out, trying to get that win as quickly as possible, not just letting it, you know, calm down and just, like, fucking breathe in, smell the fresh air, listen to that one guy drunk in the front row saying, kick him in the dick. Like, everyone wants this rush through the entire process. So I completely see it from your point of view. And I think the instant gratification fighter is always going to lose to the person that's going to be patient and waiting. And I lost to the guy who was patient, waiting. And he came in for a chess match, and I came in with checker pieces. And I just... You make an absolutely fucking brilliant point. Like, it just blew my mind when you said that. Like,
I'm smart.
You are very smart.
Yeah. But yeah, it's an interesting way. And now people, you know, you can come in, and I totally believe that someone can totally kick someone's ass, but it just really depends on what happens in the ring, which sucks. Like I said, I know I'm a lot better than what I show, and I think I'm too worried about showing others what I can do than actually doing what I do well. And it hasn't paid in certain ways, you know, in some ways it has, but, you know, K1, you know, you can't make as easy as a mistake as you can in MMA to lose your whole damn fight. So, yeah, it's a lot of different things people don't think about when they step in there, and when they're like, what the fuck just happened? And they're watching their, you know, their favorite fighter on UFC, and they just, shit happens. You never know. It's just a great thing about sports, you know, it's just always up in the air, and people make mistakes, and when people else finds that little hole that you made, they're going to take advantage of it. If they're smart enough, if they're well-trained, they're going to see that hole that you just did, and you got to just go back and do it over again. And it's not a big deal, which, you know, not to kick yourself in the ass over every time, but you got to give props to the people that go in there and then go back in there again, and then go back in there again, make that same damn mistake, and then go back in there again and keep fucking drilling it when you get out. So.
And that's why you're fucking awesome and you're a badass, my friend.
Yay, thank you.
No problem.
You too.
So we're going to wrap up the show, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Karina, any last words for our parting guests and for the people watching at home?
Check out my show, our show, next Wednesday. I have the Wednesday shows with Allie. It's at 7:30 Eastern time. No, 8:30 Eastern time, 7:30 Central time. We have Evan Elder, who is a homegrown fighter here out of St. Louis. He just made his LFA debut. He won it. I was just letting Matt know. He's literally like the nicest guy in MMA. Sweet dude. He's down there, I think, in Stanford MMA with another friend of mine. Great guy. You really need to watch him. Evan Elder, next Wednesday. And thank you guys for having me for my first time on here.
Fucking awesome. I can't wait. And Matt, any parting words to the producer?
Nope. Just make sure you tune in the next couple weeks. I have a really special guest possibly lining up. It's going to be really awesome. Shoni Carter is coming on next week, so that's going to be a great time. for the Wednesday show on the 23rd, we have Matthew Cottle. And on the 30th, I just lined up Invicta fighter Alicia Zapatella.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a good one.
Yeah, that's awesome. Super excited.
Yeah. All right, so boys and girls, children of all ages, all my friends watching at home and all Karina's friends, get ready. You better watch the show every Wednesday or I'll hurt you. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for joining us for the Fight Mixer. I'll fix my internet next week. Signing off. Peace out, everybody. Have a good night.
Peace out.
Hi, I'm Matt Seibel, producer of the Fight Mixer show. We have a good lineup of guests coming up next week. Take a look for yourself.
Just to put you on a set of reminders, I'm on my grind. Do these things. And bring in the blame. This is Shoni Carter, Mr. International. Player with a passport. I'll see you on the Fight Mixer, September 3rd.